Hi, everyone. It's Dr. Denise. This is the Dr. Denise Show. And I did a series back in 2020 that was called Rocking a Betrayal. And recently, I was honored to be contacted by the publicist of author Donna Anderson. Donna Anderson is a creator of lovefraud.com, a website that teaches people to recognize and recover from sociopaths. She's the author of 8 books, including Senior Sociopaths, How to Recognize and Escape Lifelong Abusers, Red Flags of Love Fraud, 10 Signs, and many more books that I'm going to have in this bio and link to the show. Donna, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Denise, I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
You know, I want to let you know this because I sensed when you, in your Love Fraud book, which by the way, I had your Love Fraud book on a shelf for the last 4 years. And in my mind's eye, I said, someday I will be interviewing her or working with her somehow. So I just want you to know that when your publicist reached out to me and said I was the first one she reached out to, I was like, wow, talk about a quantum universe and just sort of attracting that.
That's terrific. Well, I'm glad to be here and glad to be finally talking to you about it.
Yeah. So can you, I'm going to sort of share back what the Rocking a Betrayal series was for me in a little bit, but can you take all of us on the journey of your process of what happened to actually launch lovefraud.com?
Sure. Well, it's not something that I ever planned. My background is actually journalism. And although I do have a degree in psychology, I never anticipated that I would use it. It was more that I was a journalist. And I had been single for a long time. And then when I was 40 years old, I met this man who just seemed to be extraordinary, swept me off my feet, seemed to be a real dynamo. Well, he turned out to be a con artist, and this man took $250,000 from me. He cheated with at least 6 different women during our 2.5-year relationship. He had a child with another woman during our marriage, and then 10 days after I left him, not 10 days after we divorced, but 10 days after I left him, he married the mother of the child while he was still married to me. And at that point, I started figuring out what was going on because I was really clueless about it. And I was seeing a therapist, an energetic style of therapist, and I was telling her, you know, what was going on and this outrageous behavior that my husband was engaging in. And she said to me, "He sounds like a sociopath." And I'm like, sociopath? What is that? And so that's what happened. I started researching it. And one of the first books I read was Without Conscience by Dr. Robert Hare, which is the layman's guide to psychopathy. And it fit. It described what I was experiencing. So at this point, I realized that I had a story that needed to be told. I mean, I was a college graduate. I was a working journalist. I had my own business. I was not in any way the typical type of someone would think that you have a low self-esteem or something like that. That wasn't me at all. And I got into this situation. So I founded Love Fraud in 2005, and since then have collected more than 10,000 cases of other people who have been involved with sociopaths. And it's really taken me on a journey because my original goal when I launched Love Fraud was to alert people about the con artists who live among us so right. Other people wouldn't fall into the situation that I fell in. But as I started hearing from all these people, it was like, oh my goodness, this topic is far bigger and far more insidious than I even knew. And it's through all my readers who told me what happened to them that I really started to get a grasp of what was going on with these personality disordered individuals who live among us.
I know. And I just want to say that the amount of data that you've collected, the scientific data. And then I also, when I read, I had to skim around the Love Fraud book. I want to let you know, over a little over 4 years ago, summer of 2017 with my Dr. Denise brand, right as the momentum of the podcast was hitting, I was targeted by a sociopath. Mm. And so I think the other thing that's important, that when we're at different parts of our own healing journey, on that path, I loaned someone $420,000. I've won the judgment. They're an ex-NFL player. My life had, I've had lots of different threatening things happen. But I, as an adult, no one would ever think, how could this happen? I think this is the part I want to say right now. You were talking about you were successful, you're educated, good self-esteem. My situation's it was a business plus a little bit of that con, which it's all mixed in, which I think we can talk about. I think what they do, I think that when someone's wanting to con you, they're a chameleon to whatever you want to hear. Uh-huh. So it's like they go in for the weak spot. So I want to really honor your journey, but mine in particular was the reason why I had your love fraud book just on the shelf. One of my dear friends is like, don't read all that. That might trigger you right now because you're not ready to hear. And I want you to know, not only did I win the lawsuit against this person and won the judgment, didn't get the money back, because as we know, we can talk about on the show, they're really savvy of hiding the money, even if you win the judgments, right? Uh-huh. I ended up warning your platform and what you've done. I'd done in a smaller microcosm way. I had subpoenaed bank records. And I ended up warning all these other women. Another woman, $180,000. Another woman won a judgment, $33,000. And this person's still out there, and they're even using their charity. So I just want to say, I don't know in your 10,000 people if you've had an adult and child integrative psychiatrist like myself also have fraud. But I'm being vulnerable and sharing that. I did a mini series called Rocking a Betrayal, where the first one was shame. Because a lot of times people first have shame about even like letting people know. I want, maybe you can comment after I share this. The first show was shame, and then the next one was red flags. And the third one was sisterhood. I had one of the other women on. And the fourth one was the alchemy of a betrayal. So for me in the universe, the fact that you are now, I have not done this series. I'm like, are you kidding me? What a kiss on the cheek from the universe that your publicist reached out to me, because I could not imagine someone who's rocked her betrayal more than you have and the way you've been helping others.
Well, thank you. And yes, I certainly understand all the steps that you outlined. Once you realize that you've been conned and that the whole thing was a setup right from the very beginning, you're very angry, and the person you're most angry at is yourself. You know, it's because, you know, why did I fall for this? Why didn't I see what was going on? How could I continue to go along with this? And that goes into a lot of the human processes that we all experience, because what sociopaths do is they hijack the human bonding system. You know, they set you
wait,
up.
Wait, I just need to repeat that to everyone. They hijack the human bonding system. And Donna, I have also called it a form of spiritual rape. So keep going.
Okay. So, and how I kind of explain this is that, people are set up to trust. I mean, trust is essentially the biological component that holds everybody together. This is what holds society together. And this is exactly what sociopaths target. You know, they target your ability to trust. They target your vulnerabilities. I mean, I kind of explained it as a three-step process. Like, a sociopath will meet you, and first they'll figure out if you have anything that they want. Then step two is they figure out what your vulnerabilities are. And step three is they target your vulnerabilities to get you to give them what they want. And, you know, this is all based on how we're supposed to interact, and we're supposed to be with each other. And they just take all these very human tendencies and emotions and prerogatives and just twist it all around and take advantage of it. And so that's what they do.
Absolutely. And so when did your marriage end to James Montgomery?
Well, I actually met him in 1996, and we very quickly got married, although he kind of started wiping me out financially even before we got married. And the thing was that, you know, it was never, he presented it that we were working towards our future together. You know, it was never that he asked me for money. It was that, you know, I have got these really great business ideas. And I, of course, was a successful business person at that time. And so he thought, oh, we'll be a great team. And this is what he's telling me. And he had this energy about him, this commanding presence and this magnetism, which is very typical of people with psychopathy. He was actually diagnosed by a professional as a psychopath later on. But anyhow, he just presented this image of, you know, invulnerability and you know, the stories that he would tell, because he claimed that he was a Hollywood screenwriter, and he was originally from Australia, and he told me that he had fought in the Vietnam War for Australia and had won the Victoria Cross, which is the equivalent of the Congressional Medal of Honor. So he's creating this whole image of what he was. And it was all very exciting. And so this is what drew me in. And it wasn't until later on that I found out that it was all fake. You know, well, I mean, this man walked around the neighborhood walking my dog wearing a Special Forces beret, and he was never in the military.
Mm-hmm. So my situation's even a little bit, you know, I actually have to tell you, I still have my own mild PTSD because I've had certain things happen. I've lost a Twitter account because I was hacked for exposing this individual. So the fact that you are out there in the public just making everyone aware, and so am I also want to say for those who are the warriors who kind of go into the suffering, alchemize it, then want to help others, there's still for me at times feelings of, oh gosh, now what's going to happen if he finds out I'm doing this show? But so I want to say what you just explained. My situation was this person had charities set up and they did the bare minimum for their charities. And I even had a private eye go to events that they'll do the bare minimum. And then once I had the bank accounts, I found out that there really wasn't money going towards this. So there's a lot of smoke screens. And my situation was that this person even met all my friends, including those who were FBI profilers that liked them. So this, I think one of the myth busting things about sociopaths, they can have, well, I think a lot of people know they have charisma, but there's times where they're such incredible actors. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they can make a lot of money in the acting world because the way that the personality can just change this magnetism, this likability, this like almost like angel-like characteristic. All my friends were like, oh my gosh, this is going to be great. You guys are going to do great things together, helping others. And so I think a lot of times for myself, you know, and by the way, I've worked in maximum security prisons. I've worked with sociopaths. So one of my vulnerabilities and even sharing this with you right now is that it can happen to anyone. And once you have this happen, and this is what you've done with all the data, don't you feel like a lot more people, once they realize it can happen by you setting up this lovefraud.com and all of your body of work, don't you feel like people feel almost comforted that they're not alone?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because I also talk to folks who've been targeted, and that's one of the main things that helps them is, you know, because it's so isolating. And of course, that's what sociopaths do, is one of their strategies is to isolate people and pry them away from their support network. And, you know, so the fact that that you've been isolated, you know, plus the fact that you feel stupid, you know, for falling for it, it becomes a very lonely place. And one of the real benefits of love fraud for many people is exactly what you just said, is realizing that they're not alone, you know, realizing that their very human characteristics, the good parts of their personality is what have been targeted, and that, you know, this happens to a lot of people. I mean, I can tell you that I've definitely heard from, I can think right off the top of my head, two or three other psychiatrists who have been targeted and who have fallen for this. And one of my colleagues, she came to the conclusion that her training was deficient, you know, that she did not really learn in her extraordinary training, you know, what really went on in these situations. And I can also tell you that I hear from plenty of people who are other kinds of therapists, you know, licensed professional counselors and marriage and family therapists, and all the ones who truly understand what goes on understand it because it happened to them.
Yes, and I want to just take a pause on the actual part of the vulnerability of being human. So when this happens to you in any way or form, you know, life doesn't stop. You usually still have to go to work. You still have your children or your life or whatever your situation is. So I gave myself time to not only just be the best doctor. I always swim. I did healing. I reached out and talked to this therapist for a bit. And I just went deeper into it. And I think a lot of people who, you can talk about this because you have all the data, like this is your area. I know I'm an MD and I have the clinical experience, but your body of work and every link I'm going to put to this in this show is like phenomenal. What I will say is I think a lot of people that are targeted are the ones that are the high level empaths, the people who are doing good in the world. So it's really easy too. We're living at this time. I know that you met James through kind of at the time it wasn't online dating, but now we have such an issue with society because we're all using social media. So we're easier targets. And I found that this individual like listened to my shows, knew what my passions were. And then when I helped warn the other women, they were all very different. Like he was a chameleon to what their needs were. So mm-hmm. he and I were allegedly going to do all these good things to help with mental health, race, and all these things, which I'm still doing. I still charged ahead. I'm on my path. But my point is, I'd love for you to comment on sort of the profile of who the victim is in your body of work. Who do these sociopaths go for? What are the traits that they're looking for?
Well, one of my colleagues actually did some research on this, and she identified three traits specifically for women. They weren't able to do research related to men. They did do it with women. And the three traits that made women at risk for being involved with a psychopath, because that was specifically what they were looking at, were extroversion. And what that means is that somebody, of course, is a go-getter and they like excitement and they like, different things that are, they want to accomplish that they're, you know, good talking to people and things like that. So that was the first one. The second was investment in relationships, which meant that they wanted to, relationships are important to them. They're tenderhearted. They wanted people to, have good experiences. They wanted to be helpful. And the third risk factor was cooperativeness. The women that she evaluated scored like 93rd percentile or something like that on being cooperative. You know, these people want to make things work. So we're talking.
Sounds like me.
Yes. And yes.
By the way, I have to laugh. I just want you to know, Donna, we're talking about serious, but do you find that humor is also helpful in the healing process and talking about these things?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I just want everyone to know that, like, I know this is tough stuff, but it's good to have a nice sense of humor when you're learning more and you're healing and you're helping others.
Right. And so anyhow, I mean, we're not talking wallflowers here, you know, we're talking people who are go-getters. And, you know, especially when it comes to women who are, powerful women, accomplished women, business owners, professionals, a lot of women, I was single for a long time, which actually was one of the things that made me vulnerable. And, someone who is a professional and a go-getter, of course, wants a partner who is similar to themselves. You want somebody who you feel on a par with. And, there are guys who are really nice guys, but, are not comfortable approaching powerful women. But who is comfortable? It's the psychopath. This is great, and so by the same token, the extroversion is the point of connection between a psychopath and a woman who gets targeted, because, women finally feel like they found someone, who is magnetic and charismatic and go-getting and everything like that. So they feel like they've met their equal, and which is how I felt. I felt like, wow, this was why I was single for all these
years. I'm glad you're saying this. The level of what you feel like when someone matches, you feel like you're so in sync. It's mm-hmm. like they're saying that it's like they're feeding you, when you're feeding yourself like a healthy meal, they're feeding you like what you would want to hear to feel so connected. To make sure like this interest is the same or that's going on or wow. And then the words they use until you get out of it, then you realize, maybe you and I can talk about love bombing, gaslighting, right? Can we just discuss that? Because it's like, you don't even know it's happening when it's happening.
Right. And this is actually part of the seduction strategy. And, you know, you brought up earlier about, you know, the social media and everybody's online now. And yes, that really complicates matters because I actually did meet my ex-husband online, but it was very, very early, you know, when we were on like AOL and all you could do was send emails. You know, it wasn't the way it is now with this dating apps or things like that. But what happens is that, you know, because people live so much of their lives online and they're posting about their interests, and even if you don't have a dating profile, even if you just have a Facebook page or a Twitter account or something like that, and you're relaying what's interesting to you and what you believe in and what is important to you, well, the sociopaths do their homework.
Yes. Yes. And by the way, mine was targeted. I've interviewed, which by the way, I feel incredibly grateful for our time today. I just want to make sure that, you know that gratitude's my secret sauce. So for me on this journey of changing the way we think, talk, and act about mental health and all the different series. And by the way, I've been to India. I've spoken at the Dalai Lama's Body Mind Life Conference. So I, on this journey, was meeting athletes, scientists. So I was profiled through my brand for someone to be on my show. And then they showed me all these great things and all the ways we could work together. And I actually had them meet the Buddhist monk that's the jewel of India that's been knighted in England. And so I really kind of vetted this person by meeting my core group before I was going to do, you know. So everyone's like, they're great. So I just want to let you know that even one of my dear friends, it's an FBI profiler, thought that this guy was great. So that's how smooth of operators it can be, whether, because this happens not only in love fraud, it happens in like a combination business and love fraud, business alone. I don't know, maybe what spurred your love fraud, your desire to do that, I'd love to hear. But I think a lot of people, once you get past the shame and you're like, oh my God, this happened to me, you start having, I had like one family member let me know that a Ponzi scheme that happened, another friend that lost another thing in a Ponzi, someone else lost. It's almost like once you find this out, you realize you're just not alone, even if you don't do the magnitude of what you've done.
Yes. And my early research validated what you just said. I mean, even before I launched Love Fraud, you know, once I started figuring out what my ex-husband was really all about, and I started talking to people and saying, well, this is what he did and this is what happened. And time again, I heard, oh, I know someone that happened to. And, you know, so it was out there. But at the time, of course, this was, you know, 2000, nobody was talking about it. And I mean, there's certainly a lot more awareness now than there was back then. But at the time, nobody had any clue what was going on.
So with your education, your background, your scientific method, take us back to your healing process and then your desire to do the love fraud, because I think that aha moment of your own deeper spiritual growth, you really have looked at, and I love this about you, and this is where I'm just a champion of you and what you're doing, is a multidimensional approach to healing. And I love that because, and I'm not, by the way, some people do not believe in God or higher power, but I believe in the universe and higher power and energy. I don't just believe, I've trained in remote viewing, but it seems like in your journey of realizing all this and the fraud, you've gone and alchemized your betrayal to such a place of the highest level of almost like greater self-love and greater service to many.
Well, my journey definitely had a spiritual component to it. In fact, the full title of my first book is Love Fraud, How Marriage to a Sociopath Fulfilled My Spiritual Plan. And so my healer that I went to, the therapist, was an energy healer. And luckily, I already had a relationship with her. I had been seeing her for several years prior to this experience, you know, trying to wonder why I was still single at age 40, essentially. It's like, you know, what's going on here? And it was definitely a spiritual journey, and it was an emotional processing journey, and it was a journey of seeking justice. So, you know, there all these dimensions were going on. And when I talk to folks about, you know, how to recover from this experience, I talk about the idea that there are two paths to recovery. On the one path is all the practical things. You have to figure out, you know, how to continue to survive, keep doing your job. If you've been wiped out financially, how are you going to recover? How are you going to take care of your kids? You know, all those practical things need to be dealt with. And the other path is the emotional recovery. And the emotional recovery means really allowing yourself to feel the pain of what has happened and to really feel how it happened and why it happened and figure out what your vulnerabilities are and do all this emotional work to get to root it out, essentially, you know, because what they do, as I said previously, is they target your vulnerabilities. So what were the vulnerabilities? Where did they come from? And how can you heal that? And the thing is that you go down both paths simultaneously, or at least that's what I recommend.
By the way, that's what I did. I mean, I sought justice. I had an attorney. I was still being like top in my game as a doctor. I took 9 months off of recording my show. Then I went back into it. I got invited to go speak in India. So I kept going, but I paced myself emotionally. Like, I remember hosting tons of play dates and my girlfriends were like, can't we reciprocate? I'm like, no, I don't really want to go out and socialize as much. I'd rather swim and host play dates. So I did my own version. I think if you're still working or you're a mom or whatever you need to do to heal, it's like you have to pace yourself in the moment of now and do your own spiritual practices.
Right. Yes, absolutely. And when I talk about emotional recovery, what I mean by that is really allowing yourself to feel the emotions of what has happened. And that's the work that I did with my spiritual and energy healer. And I mean, we went really deep. And, you know, because typically, you know, on the surface, you have anger, perhaps, of what has happened, or the shame that you feel. If you keep going down, you get down to the real betrayal and the real pain and the real grief about what has happened, and your illusions that have been shattered, and your dreams that have been shattered. And so you want to get really deep into the pain of those things and allow yourself to experience it, because we don't usually do that. You know, usually, you know, when something bad happens, you know, you don't stop and deal with it. You know, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and move on with your day. And this is why all this vulnerability and pain just gets trapped inside us. And this is what attracts the sociopaths. I mean, they're looking for that. They're looking to figure out, you know, what your weak points are so that they can take advantage of them. So the idea is to excavate them and get them out of your system. And as you do that, it means that there's nothing for the sociopaths to latch onto in the future.
Yes. And the core elements that I spoke about in India of nurturing children's mental health, which is for all of us, is an awareness, then self-love and altruism. And I find that when you go deep in your healing, whether it's from a fraud, love fraud, anything, it all goes back to self-love. And you have to look at, you know, and also these, specifically what we're talking about, the sociopaths do figure out a way, even if you have great confidence, to find your weaknesses. So when you're talking about the healing process, the journey, you worked with an energy healer. I know some people, you know, might have had people that I've worked that have had fraud in my practice. Different people might have anxiety or depression. So sometimes people need an MD plus a spiritual healer plus this. So there's just different ways to heal. But I think it all goes back to deeper self-love and that awareness. And I like what you said about we talked about shame a little bit of how could this happen? And a lot of times you can look back, there might've been I'm sure in your body of work, there might've been emotional neglect or family history of different family systems challenges that could put someone at that kind of risk for being targeted by a sociopath.
Definitely. I mean, I actually didn't experience that myself. You know, my family history, you know, it was fine. You know, my parents did their best. Although I did somewhere along the line pick up the idea that I wasn't lovable for who I was, or I didn't deserve love just because I exist, that I had to earn it, that I had to do things for people, that I had to win their approval in order to win their love. And so this was a mistaken impression that I got somewhere, and this is what made it difficult for me to make emotional connections, which left me vulnerable at age 40 to my sociopathic ex-husband.
Mm-hmm. So we're at this crucial point before we do part two. What was your aha journey, not only in your own personal deeper healing with your energy healer, but when did you get this idea to start writing, start helping, and like just the give us a nice summary of the birthing of the lovefraud.com platform and book?
Well, I'm a journalist, and many times over the years, I had been asked by people, so do you want to write a book? And I'm like, no, that's like way too much work. And then when I realized that my entire marriage was a fraud, I realized, oh my goodness, I have a story that needs to be told. And essentially it was, you know, I got hit with a steamroller and I was a smart enough journalist to realize that this was a big story. And that was it. I said, you know, this is, I just need to tell this story.
Well, I'm just getting chills because I had your book, which was already on my shelf. So I love that. By the way, I'm an intuitive as well. And I was like, how did your publicist call? Like, we haven't even discussed that. Maybe we'll discuss that offline. But we also attract, I don't know, once you do the deeper healing and I call it being in your own integrity, in your highest level of in integrity instead of in ego, and you do the healing work, you start attracting a group of people that are the ones who want change. So I don't know if you found on the process of writing the book of Love Fraud and your platform, do you want to give some credit to some amazing individuals and doctors and people that have helped you get the data to make this all even that this more elevated?
Well, I absolutely agree with you. And one of the people that I worked with is Dr. Leanne Leadham. And she's fabulous. And she has now become one of the top researchers in how psychopaths affect the family. So she actually reached out to me not long after Love Fraud launched. And so that was, she was very, a lot of what I understand about the, I guess you could say the medical aspects of personality disorders comes through what I learned from her. And I suppose that the other big influence is my second husband, Terry Kelly, because he's the one who funded it. You know, he said that, I mean, I was talking.
Oh my gosh, I just got chills. What a gift of love to fall in love, to meet someone, and for your own personal healing on this journey of not only like finding love yourself, but then attracting this incredible doctor who wants to get the data and looked at all the stories, but then have someone that believes in you and also wants to help others.
Yeah, it's we've been married now for 17 years. And so it's important for people to realize that there is life after a sociopath. And you know, we're still very happy.
Wow. Well, thank you. Thank you for this part one of the journey and the more personal shares. And I'm a fan of data and going deeper on your newest book. So I look forward to having you back on. Where can everyone find you?
Well, lovefraud.com. And that's where everything is. I also do a YouTube show every Tuesday. So typically what I do is a short presentation, and then people ask their questions by chat, and I answer their questions. So that's been pretty popular. People like it.
Donna, thank you so much for our time today and all that you're doing to help others. Thank you so much. And thank you, everyone.
Thank you.